Hey Podnuts, Corey here from Instant House Call. Whether you're a break fix tech who needs to provide remote support on demand without pre-installed software, or a managed service provider who wants to connect to unattended PCs anytime, Instant House Call makes remote support easy. I want to invite you to try Instant House Call free for yourself. Go to podnuts.com and click on the link in the show notes, then use the promo code PODNUTS. Instant House Call is the best remote support on earth. We can prove it. Try it free now and see for yourself.
Welcome to PODNUTS Daily, episode number 460, a show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. I'm your host, Jeff Allish. I'm joined again by Paco LeBron from Prodigy Techs. How you doing, Paco?
Doing good, Jeff, and how are you?
I am doing excellent.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to change that. I think I'm going to start going off with better than good, better than most. That's going to be my catchphrase now.
You and John.
Well, he says better than he deserves. So
there you go. Yeah. All right. So Paco is back with us again. I know this just seems like it's the Paco and Jeff show now, but the reason we're doing this is we are bringing to you guys the beginnings of a part-time tech. And this episode is going to be paid advertising part four. So this is the fourth episode we've done together. We've gotten a lot of things. We had, starting out, getting out there, basically, and now we're up to paid advertising. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So yep. Paco, why don't you go ahead and start it off, and we'll go with wherever you want to start.
Sure. So paid advertising, whenever that term is talked about, the one thing that comes to mind is paid per click. Now, for those who don't know what pay per click is, pay per click advertising is for anyone that is doing some type of search in any type of medium. This could be Google, this can be in Bing, Yahoo, Yelp. There are advertisements that are often advertised in a particular page. And a user or an end user, being your potential client or prospect, would type in a search term, in this example, we'll say computer repair, and they will see an ad on either the top or side of whatever medium they are looking at. Now, when they click on it, that will be considered as a pay-per-click. So whoever is the advertiser that's advertising on that particular platform, if the user clicks that ad, they've essentially paid for that click. So that's where that terminology comes from, and shouldn't be confused with the old way of these type of platforms used to operate, where if your ad showed up and displayed for the prospect to be viewed, you would be charged. So those are two different things to differentiate. But what we're going to talk about today, or at least a big portion of this, will be the PPC, the pay-per-click advertisements.
Okay. Let's start off with the first one. And that's the one that's been most popular and near and dear to my heart since 2010. And that's Google AdWords. And Google AdWords, I started back in 2010 and have been running with it ever since. I've made tweaks along the way, but for the most part, that has always brought me in brand new customers all the time. And I've heard from a lot of different, and this is in two different areas in Michigan. There's a lot of people out there that tell me that Google AdWords did not work for them. And I, quite honestly, I've never paid out of pocket of my personal income, because obviously we do this part-time. I've never paid out of pocket personal income to pay for my ads. They've always been paid for through my business. Now, does that mean as a part-time tech, were there in the beginning where maybe there are months that I didn't make money because it all went to advertising or tools and all? Yeah, sure. But I've never had to pay for it personally. So you're going to pay for it in one way or another. But if my business was paying for it, I was okay with that. Does that make sense?
Yep. And yeah, so there's so many things that can be applied, and just in pay-per-clicks in general. But for Google AdWords, you know, I was one of those that did not start Google AdWords until September of 2015. I used to generate a lot of my own leads by organic means and other failed paid advertising, which we'll go into in a minute. Now,
wait a minute, Paco. Why did you start back in September of 2015? Who led you to that conclusion to actually get started? Go ahead and tell the story. We were back CompTIA somewhere in August of 2015, correct?
All right. Hold on. So let's back it up. Okay. So to be fair, as a disclaimer, as I continue to, you know, find my way into being the part-time tech and generate revenue for my computer repair business, Jeff has always, and as if anyone knows and who's heard my show and his and me appearing on Podnuts, me and Jeff are very good friends. So this is all in good fun. And this is all, you know, we always give each other a hard time just to get better. So.
Oh, no, you actually made me mad.
Oh, okay. Well, there goes that. So, so essentially, he has always told me to get into the Google AdWords platform. And it was always something to me that I didn't want to do. And the reason why was because back in 2012, before Google AdWords really changed their platform, really had the support in place via phone or just the resources that are out there, I never took the time to do the research. And what ended up happening, I had a bad experience with Google AdWords that ran a bill. I believe it was close to almost some $300. And because of me not understanding how this all worked, and I had multiple Google accounts, I actually ran the same ad on two different email accounts. So I ended up actually having the same amount of the bill on two different accounts. I forgot exactly the dollars, but essentially it was close to $300 on each account. So trying to explain this to Google and their support at the time, it was all via email. I never called in. They said essentially that you kind of stuck with it. You're going to have to deal with the bill. And, you know, luckily I was with PayPal. They helped me out with that charge. I never got charged for the other account. And that's kind of what turned me off from Google AdWords. Now, many years later, as I found the Podnuts Network and speaking with Jeff, he's always been a very big advocate on how Google AdWords has really grew and helped his business acquire a lot of prospects into returning customers. Now, he always would tell me this. I would always say, okay, yeah, et cetera. Now, we were at an event in CompTIA for ChannelCon in Chicago, and there was a workshop where the guy was mentioning how pay-per-click is very worth the investment and the tools that were in place. So as he mentioned Google AdWords being one of the primary venues that he's avenues that he's used to generate income for his MSP, I started to write these notes down. Unbeknownst to me, Jeff is looking at my notebook furiously as I'm writing this down, and jabs me to the point and says, really? It takes some guy up there with a microphone to say Google AdWords for you to decide this is when you're going to make that plunge. Now, to be fair, I did not take the plunge right after that when I heard the gentleman speak. It did take me about another month or two before I really did try and dive in. Or I'm sorry, a month, because this was in beginning of August and I didn't do it until end of September till I decided to venture into Google AdWords.
That is a true story, my friends. Google AdWords, so what I had explained to, and I've explained this to a lot of people, is that, again, it is the number one way that I got customers because I am inherently lazy. I'm not really lazy from the standpoint of I'm not lazy, but I try to do things that are going, especially as a part-time tech, that were going to work for me. I didn't have time working a full-time job to go out there and pound the pavement, go out there, talk to people, go join the Chamber of Commerce, even though these are all good things. And depending on your work schedule, if you can fit some of these things in, those are good, but I couldn't. And at the time when I started my business, I was driving 1 hour each way to work. So that's 2 hours out of my day. We were working 10 hours back then. That's 12 hours out of my day. And I started my computer repair business. Yep. And so I needed a way that I could have an advertisement come up when somebody would do a search term, and my biggest words was always computer repair. Because here's, in back then, just to kind of lay a little foundation, what I had thought about, I was given originally a list of like 300 keywords. And keywords are the words that are typed in by your potential prospect into Google. And what it'll do is if those keywords come up, then if somebody types in those keywords, what it'll do is that advertisement will come up towards the top. And somebody will click on the ad, go right to the website, and they can call my number from there. Now, I started having just 300 and some odd keywords. Then I went in over time, made a few adjustments here and there. What I finally figured out was, as far as Google AdWords for me, now there probably is ways to tweak things, but here's the problem. A lot of people are using things like virus removal, okay, or viruses or whatever, or some form thereof. The problem is, a lot of times when you're using pay-per-click advertising and you put in something like virus removal or so on and so forth, you're going to get all the big boys up there. Kaspersky, McAfee, Norton, whomever. Okay. So you're kind of lost in that whole thing. And here's the other thing too. A lot of times when people are searching for things like virus removal is most of the time because they're trying to do it themselves. So again, that's not the audience I was looking for. So over time, my two biggest keywords, well, actually three, screen repair, maybe laptop screen repair. Actually, I think just screen repair, different variations, but mostly laptop, computer repair, and computer repair in Canton, Michigan. Those three keywords, and I've heard this before, and I don't know, I haven't taken some of the obscure keywords out there because I'm like, well, if I might miss somebody that comes in there, but I've heard from other people that there's probably maybe only 10 to 20 keywords that you're ever going to get anything from anyways. And those are really what you want to concentrate on.
Right.
But I still, and trust me, I've had to go back in and pull a lot of those out because there was at a point where I had over 500 keywords and I go, this is just ridiculous. So I started carving that out a little bit. I just wanted to come up for things that people, I felt like people were going to call me for to get service, not things that people were looking up online to fix themselves. Does that make sense?
Yep. So a couple things on that. So yeah, so when I started this and I really wanted to do the research so I wouldn't put myself in a bad spot again. And that was a big thing for me. So what I did was I took a couple courses on Udemy. I also found that Google AdWords actually has their own channel on YouTube where they release content regularly on the different types of ways to use AdWords, whether it's services, targeting, bringing customers to you, making the phone calls, you name it, this entire channel, which is free. In YouTube, they have all this content is available for you on depending on what you're trying to accomplish with Google AdWords. The other thing I did was I actually went ahead and started using a tool called SEM Rush. Now, SEM Rush allowed me to figure out what keywords are working or that I wanted to try to gain traction in my area. So there's a lot of stuff that could be done in SEM Rush, but that was the real reason why I did this was to type in a keyword, see how it was faring, you know, how high is it, what's the minimum bid that on average would it possibly take to even rank number one with that keyword, et cetera. Now, to Jeff's point, I also started off with a big list of 300 words. Some 200, 300 words as well. Actually, I got the list from you.
Right.
And, and I've come to find out, and also from speaking with Google AdWords support, which is also free when you call them, they do want to help you because essentially once you get customers in and those clicks happen, they're getting paid as well. So they want to make sure that you gain as much traction and really increase your budgets and really increase more revenue coming to you because that just means it's more revenue coming to them as well, a portion of that. So what they've told me, same similar to what what Jeff was saying, is that they mentioned that you probably don't, if you're going to start off completely scratch with no idea of what you want to do, start off with 10 to 25 keywords in a general campaign. Now, this could be for computer repair. This could be drop-offs, whatever it is that you may want to try and grab people to come in for. You can go ahead with 10 to 25 keywords. Now, over the last several months, I kind of got creative and I started creating ads for each individual service and started putting one keyword for each of those services to try and grab for that ads. But it gets a little complex from there. But when you go into generals and you're starting out, you don't have to create an ad for every single service that you run. You don't have to figure out, okay, what are going to be the best keywords that I have and start figuring out, I'm going to put these specific keywords for these particular ads. Create one ad for computer repair or whatever it is that you desire people to come to you, for you to go to them, et cetera, and start off with 10 to 25 keywords and let it run. Because the best way you're not going to know if it works is over time and figuring out which ones are even making it to someone's screen, or if you're under budget on a particular keyword. And that's how you kind of determine what you want to do as far as putting those keywords and handling a budget, which we'll go into next on setting budgets and figuring out on those particular keywords on what we've done.
Now, Paco, let me ask you a question. How many ads do you think that I'm running right now?
You're probably running one ad.
Correct. And I've been running one ad since 2010. Now, there's a reason for that. And here's something that you have to think about. And it took me a little time to kind of figure this out. And I will tell you that for my top keywords, actually for most of my keywords, my ranking, I'm at 1.8, okay, on average, which that means, and I only pay, on average right now, I'm only paying $2.50 some odd cents to them, $2.60 maybe per click. Okay. And what I've done is I've created one ad where I attach all these keywords to. But what I've done in that ad is I put my name of my business. Well, the name of the business is already in there. I put what my flat fee is for if you bring it to me, my flat fee. I don't have to say hourly or whatever. So you've got a flat fee, and it already shows them a price of some sort. The reason I put that in there, because for a long time I didn't have anything in there, it stopped the tire kickers from calling me. So what it did was it cut down on not only the people where they're clicking, because they could see the number, and if that number was too high for them, they wouldn't call, which was good because they weren't going to use my service anyways because they were cheap. So that was one of the things that I did. The other thing I did is there is a thing in Google AdWords where you can take your Google My Business and attach them together. And what that does is on most of the ads, it will give you not only your address, if you have a post office box or whatever your address is for under Google My Business, and your phone number. So the reality is somebody could see my ad, never click on it, and yet call the number. And that happens all the time.
Yep. And if for those who don't know what Google My Business is, because reference episode number two, or I'm sorry, episode two of the series, which was 458.
Yep.
So yeah, and exactly like what you mentioned, as far as being able to do all that, you also have to make sure what you're comfortable with spending. And that's a big piece that you want to make sure you understand, because when you call the Google support, they're going to tell you, all right, we think you should have this range. We can, and this will bring you this amount of traffic. When you put these keywords in, they'll say, hey, we expect this amount of traffic where this type of range. All you have to understand is when you're starting out, put in what you believe you're comfortable with spending. Now, how do you determine this? Well, there's two ways. One is the daily budget that you're going to set for your particular campaign. Now, for myself, I had set it at $15 per day. So I was willing to spend anywhere from $450 to, I forgot what it was, the other extra day, $450 to $465 a month on Google AdWords. Now, there will be times where you'll hit that mark. There'll be times where you won't. And where you won't simply just helps you out, because now you've kind of have that budget for the next month if you wanted to go that route. You don't have to do $15 a day. I think, Jeff, you said you do what, $10 a day?
Yeah, I've started at $10. I think I started at $5 a day, and then I went up to $10 a day.
Yep.
And that's where I've been for like the last probably 4 or 5 years.
So that's going to be your daily budget. And I understand, and I want to make sure, and I'll say why that makes a difference when we talk about the next piece, which is your keyword budget on how much do you want to pay Google for clicking a particular keyword. So like we've talked about computer repair, you know, a particular zip code, et cetera. How much are you willing to pay per keyword for that day? Now, the reason why that's important is two factors. One, you kind of get a feel, once you put in how much you're willing to pay, Google will tell you, hey, for this particular keyword, it's actually going to cost X for you to be visible on the first page. The other piece to this is whatever you decide on how much you want your keywords to be, because you can set a default for all your keywords, and you can actually go into each individual one and modify it to have a particular value, because maybe you feel it's worth it to you that this keyword gets selected more often than the others. But essentially, once you kind of decide what you're going to have as your keyword cost, however many of the whatever that cost is will add up to, or let me rephrase the phrase I'm saying, when a customer clicks on that keyword, basically they're racking up the cost of your daily budget. So let's say you put on a keyword $3, okay, and you have a client that went ahead and clicked it three times. Three clicks essentially bring it up to $9. And the next click that kicks over will push you over to the $10 mark, your ad stop for the day. Now, if it does go over, the little bit that's over, they take it. I don't know how they kind of deal with that. I still have to figure out that part. But essentially, that's what you want to make sure is that what you're willing to click to spend on your particular keywords and that they meet up with your daily budget. Because oftentimes, I will see a lot of us will put, let's say, $3, $3.50, et cetera. But one keyword, they put $6.50. And if that keyword was clicked twice, your ads are done for the day.
Yeah. And see, I've never done individual keywords. So for me, from the beginning, and I can tell you right now, my max cost per click is set to $4.34. And there's also something else that a lot of people don't realize too. There is a ranking system inside these keywords as far as what is on your website and if it is relevant to information that's on there. If it's not, you get ranked lower. So here's the thing. My average only cost me $2.56. That's my average cost per click. Yet I have a maximum bid set at $4.34, which gets me, for my top keywords, position 1.8, which here's the reality to where when it says 1.8 position, 99% of the time, I end up in the number one position. I'm always at the top for those particular keywords. So there's a couple things out there that, and I understand what Google's saying. Some of their stuff, to me, doesn't work exactly. Like when they say, if you need X amount, and I'll give you an example. Let's say virus removal, because that's a big one. Or no, I got a better one. Data recovery. Let's say they say you need to be in order to compete, you need to be at $8.90. And a lot of people look at that and they go, oh, I need to change that. Don't. I will tell you, I don't know what it is, and it might be dependent on areas. I'm not sure. But the reality is, I will still get ranked for data recovery, even though it says I should have it up to $8.90. And I think what ends up happening is a lot of people, especially big businesses and stuff, are probably changing their campaigns and different things all the time, trying new things. So even if it's not ranking 1 month, it will rank another month. And that's why a lot of those keywords, even though they don't come up often, I don't really get rid of them. I just leave them sitting there for the case that somebody does, hey, I need data recovery. Even though it's not something I do all the time, I'm basically fixing PCs hardware and software wise.
Right. Yep. No, and that's essentially, you know, depending on your area, you know, those numbers may change. But essentially, if Google AdWords is, and I'm going to switch gears a little bit here, is if Google AdWords is a little too high, it's just a little too rich for your blood, you can always go to their, I guess you would say, sister or essentially the other ad platform compared to Google AdWords, which is Bing Ads. Now, Bing Ads is literally probably the exact same type of platform as far as rules are concerned. They do have a couple different differences between the two. Costs tend to be a lot lower because of their market reach. The other piece to it is that they have a way where you can change the way your ads are distributed. Now, what the biggest piece to best explain this is, they have it where you can run out your ad or your budget as fast as possible. So essentially, the moment you hit go, once you reach your budget, they cut it off. You can do a slow burn where you can have your ad appear throughout the whole day for your budget and they're not running it out. And then I forgot what the other one was, but essentially I know it's similar to what Google AdWords has as well, where it's scheduled, where you don't have to do it right when you hit go. You can set it where you have in a particular schedule for your ad to appear. So that's one thing that Bing Ads has that Google AdWords does not have. The other piece of this too is when you have a Bing ad, Bing Ads actually advertises on Yahoo and on AOL as well. So you basically, you get three search engines in one. And especially for us.
Let me clarify that though. You're not really getting three search engines in one. Yahoo and AOL actually use the Bing search engine.
Okay. So, but essentially with our customers and prospects that are searching on Yahoo or AOL, your Bing ads will also appear on those platforms. So you have a better visibility on those three places.
I agree with that. Yeah. And as far as I will tell you a little story from when I started my Bing ads up, and I don't run them currently. When I did start them up, I started up. Now, there was a couple options. I could have imported my Google AdWords. I didn't. I went with a generic setup for computer repair. It looked good. I looked at the keywords that they had. And what ended up happening was actually Bing ads actually cost me more than Google AdWords. So here's what I'm going to tell you. What I would suggest is you actually start up Google AdWords, learn the insides and outs of it. And after about 4 months, when you get it dialed into where you need it for that time, what you can do is go start your Bing ads up and just copy your Google AdWords campaign into Bing. And it'll populate with the same keywords and all that stuff and keep it identically the same. I think you'll get better bang for your buck at that point. And then you can go in and make little tweaks here and there between the two of them, depending on what they're doing. But I think that would be a better place to start than their generic startup.
Yep. Or you can always give them a call as well. Same thing with Google AdWords. They have support as well. They actually have a live chat support as well. I don't really suggest the live chat support because it becomes a little difficult to kind of explain what you want to achieve. But they do have phone support. I definitely would utilize that because they've really helped me, because I did it similar to what Jeff just mentioned. I had Google AdWords for a while. I thought that I was really, killing it with the campaigns, and I wanted to kind of broaden my my exposure. So I imported the campaigns over from Google AdWords to Bing Ads, and I gave a call to their support, and they kind of helped me through just to understand the way they do things and so forth and so on. But they do have a lot of different things as well, which you've probably heard both me and Jeff on our respective shows talk about a lot of the things that they seem to be catching on a lot faster than Google AdWords, such as, information not matching up from the ad to the site, making claims that are not true, such as like we were putting on number one PC repair in Evanston, which we had nothing like a third party or a news media or anything like that claiming that. Or there's nothing here that's claiming, like if you have a sign up for emails, for email newsletters, you need to have a privacy policy link somewhere on your site to mention that you're going to collect this data and uphold the privacy of the people who inputs it. So it's things like that that they are catching up as well. So there is a little bit of differences on as far as content of what you're putting on Bing ads that's being detected, along with a lot of the ways to set up your ads. So both Google AdWords and Bing ads, the phone supports are available for you that are free of charge and definitely something to take advantage of.
Yeah. And one of the things too, I think a lot of people don't realize that if you're going to go out there, I just had an email come in from Bing ads saying that basically on my, not Bing ads, but the Bing My Business or whatever they call it. It sounds pretty good. Bing My Business. And they sent me an email saying that there was something that didn't match up on the website compared to the information I told them. And it was basically when I'd signed up for the account, I put in TechNut LLC, which is the actual name of my business. It's TechNut Limited Liability Corporation. And so what I ended up doing was on my website, it says TechNut Computer Repair under a lot of the words and different things that are written throughout the website for the information that I have. They're saying that doesn't match up. So what I had to do is I went into Bing. I actually did this morning, and I basically changed TechNut LLC to TechNut Computer Repair, and it went away. Everything was fine. The other thing that you're going to start running into, and I think this is where a lot of people that have tried gaming the system are going to get smacked down pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Google and Bing are starting to go against the scammers because they're getting a push, and it's an outcry from the public to start doing something. They should be trying to, best they can, police this stuff to make sure people are not getting scammed. So with that being said, if you are trying to scam the system on your website, even though some SEO expert or whomever has told you that this is good, don't. Use legitimate content that actually talks about what you do or what you don't do, and make sure that that information matches up with all the stuff that you have when it comes together. Don't change one thing over here, or don't put all these different keywords on your website, because people are going to start getting smacked down. And all of a sudden they're going to wake up one morning and go, even organically, wait a minute, I don't show up on Google. Why? Because you were gaming the system. And quite honestly, you deserve to be smacked down.
Yep.
So I just caution everybody. There is a legitimate way to do this. And it's the way I've done it since the beginning. And like I said, it has always, month after month after month for over 5 years, actually over 6 years, has brought me in customers every single month. And I don't spend that much. Because here's the other thing too. As a part-time tech, the reason I kept mine at $10 an hour or $10 a day. Yeah, $10 an hour. Yeah, it'd be a big campaign. $10 a day was because most of the time, okay, if you look at my averages with my scores and everything, $2.56, I can get 4 clicks. And there are days where I get 4 clicks. And then there are other days when I get 0 or 1 or 2 or whatever. And so it's very rarely that I've ever gone over. And here's the thing. My ads will cost me, depending on the month, anywhere between $60 and maybe sometimes $150. But the thing is, and some months are slower than others. That's the way this business is. It will correlate. Those numbers do correlate to the amount of money you make and the amount of customers you have coming in. And what I ended up figuring out, and this is where a lot of people don't figure this out, my cost per customer using Google AdWords, because obviously there's people that click on the ad, they call me, they don't use my business, or they don't call me, but they clicked on my ad anyways just to check me out. And a lot of those people will, you know, you get charged for that every time. But they won't, and I just lost my train of thought.
No,
where's I going with that?
I'm not sure where you're going with that, but this is something that we will bring up in another episode, is when you're doing these type of transactions, you want to make sure that you track your information, because, and I think where you're going was the cost of your per customer.
Yes. Let me tell you. Okay. So the cost per customer for me was $20 a customer. Now, a lot of people will look at that and they'll go, $20 per customer. It's like, that's a lot of money. If you're charging 50 bucks, yeah, it is a lot of money. If you're charging 89 or more, it's not really. And it all works out in the end. So, and here's the thing. I look at customers, good customers. Okay. Now every customer that comes in is a good customer. Some customers I only see once and then they're gone. Other customers, they like me and trust me, and they keep coming back to me over and over and over again for whatever's happening with their computers.
Right. And then that's actually a good number that you mentioned as well, because, for example, if you were to charge, in the example you have, if it's 20 bucks per customer, and let's say on average the job closes out to be about 160, that's about close to about a little less to about 8%. What I heard was, in order, if you want to sustain what you're having coming into your shop right now, you have to advertise between 5 to 10%. That 5 to 10% of your mark of what you're making coming in should be spent on marketing. So whatever your number is that you have per month, If you're not spending 5 to 10% of that number on marketing, that's what's supposed to be spent to sustain. Now, that could be hours spent, that could be paid advertising, et cetera, but the of what you gave, that's around the average of how it should be for those who think, man, 20 bucks is a lot. Well, it's just fits our argument on you need to raise your rates in order for it to make sense.
And actually, if you ask anybody about real advertising, they'll tell you 20 bucks is cheap.
Yep.
So again, and I understand because we're talking to the part-time tech out there and I get it, but I just want you to know that it can be done. And because you're doing it part-time, you can get away with certain things that maybe a full-timer has to be all in or all out in order to make it work for them. And they'll, you know, and for a lot of those, maybe they say, hey, I wasted a lot of money doing this. But for us, we can kind of play with it a little bit at a time and it ends up working out for us. And you can kick this up anytime. Like I have to keep it down because I don't have enough hours in a day. If I kicked it up, those are the times, and that's why I pulled the stuff back down, because those are times where, and we'll get into this a little bit, negative keywords. And again, so what ended up happening was I showed Paco Google AdWords, and now Paco schools me on Google AdWords because he's taken all these different classes and stuff, and he's shown me how to pull up reports and stuff like that. One of the other things, I never ran into this until this year, and I started running into where people were asking for, again, one of my number one keywords was screen repair. When you do a broad search term for screen repair, that means if you put in gobbledygook screen repair, that keyword is part of that sentence because it's a broad term search. I didn't realize this till I'd seen it there, but Paco had to explain it to me. So Paco explained it to me. You can make a keyword, and I can't remember what they call it, but it's basically if you type in exactly what the keyword is, that's the only way it will come up.
That'll be an exact match.
Exact match. But what I chose to do is use a negative keyword. So let's say, for this example, I don't do phone screen repairs. So if somebody put in Samsung S7 screen repair or some form thereof, well, what I do is I go in, I don't take the word Samsung as a negative keyword, but I will take the word S7 or S6. Or Apple iPhone or you know, anything that's, actually, I don't do Apple, iPhone. Because you got to be careful on the negative keywords. What that's done is I've been able to, and I probably only created maybe 20 negative keywords, but that has cut a lot of my clicks down for people that were searching for screen repair that I don't do.
Yep. And the big piece on that too is if you do, so let's say, for example, if you do S7 and S5 comes up and then you keep thinking like, man, I wish it would have. What you can also do is you can put Samsung S7, but you have to make sure you put the negative word as an exact match. If you put it as a broad or a phrase match, it will tell you when you're running your keywords, if that's one of your keywords, it will tell you that there's a conflict. The other piece to that, too, is if you put it as a broad match, then anything Samsung, as Jeff mentioned, won't come up and you won't be able to repair any Samsung notebooks or right. PCs that may come in.
Exactly. So there's still a couple different ways that you can do this, and I'm not sure which is going to be better. What I had to do was look at what's going to work for me and what was easiest to maintain. Because again, I'm doing it all myself. I don't have an outside company that's going in here and adjusting this stuff all the time. I don't have that much bandwidth to, if somebody were to come in and really tweak this and make it work to where I had all kinds of business coming in, I wouldn't have enough time to do it. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. And having another company try and do it for you is it. Some people have gotten great results for part-time techs. I don't suggest it because this is kind of the pitfall I fell on as well on. And we'll see if we have time to talk about this as we keep going through the list. But essentially I enrolled in a package with a company, Yellow Pages, and they were the ones managing it. I had no idea what the cost per click was. I had no idea what's the budget they were putting. All I know is I was paying them X amount every month, and it just didn't seem like I was getting the traction that I wanted. So it's one of those where if, as long as you're in front of it and you look at it and you're seeing and you're doing it day by day, that's really when you're going to get this benefit, because you'll know firsthand if this is working or not.
And you brought up a great point, and I wanted to bring this up, and I don't know if I brought this up in the starting out, but if you are Here is the difference. When you're a part-time tech and you're usually working out of your home, obviously you don't have a storefront. Here's the difference, okay? A storefront can offer a loss leader. And this is why we talk about pricing. A lot of people have, there's been a lot of pushback. I can't charge this in my area. What you have to look at is, if I'm a brick and mortar business and I have people coming in, I can charge a loss leader price on, let's say, virus removals. And I charge $50 for a virus removal. Here's the thing. Because I'm a storefront, I'm going to have a lot more traffic than just using Google AdWords or other forms of marketing and working out of my home. That's just the way it is, right? So a person can do that because they get people to come in and then they service other things along with that virus removal. Or they find out about this person has a business or whatever, and they get in that way. We talk about price a lot because if you're doing everything that you need to do and you're doing everything right, you're paying your taxes, you're paying for your advertisement, you're doing all the right things in your business, you're going to realize that you don't really have room in your business for any type of loss leader, not doing it part-time, in my opinion. And I learned that a long time ago. It's just because I used to do that. I was doing the $50 and I was busier than a one-legged man in a fanny kicking contest. But the reality is I was frustrated because number one, I hated virus removals at the time. And number two, I'm busy, but not really making money. And so I said, you know what? No, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to move my rates up. Here's what it is, because I'm not getting as many, virus removals and things as a storefront's going to get from walk-in traffic.
Right. Yeah. And you will be tempted to take on other avenues for advertisement, whether it's Groupon, Amazon Local, Amazon Home Services. You know, these are all things that you have to understand, although you are a part-time tech, they do take out a huge chunk on what you are going to get, first off. And second, you have to understand is a lot of the customers that are attracted to these cheaper prices may end up being more of a handful than you want. And I learned that the hard way after running two Amazon Local deals, because Amazon Local was kind of the new thing. And me, I just wanted to get in bed with Amazon because I figured that was going to be my fast track to getting right into the faces of customers. And what I come to find out is those that I added on the email list have quickly unsubscribed because they felt that they got what they needed. Others just ended up being more problematic when I took on the computers because there was just things that were not discussed, or they thought they were going to get X into the price that they had purchased at. So it ends up just being a little bit more of a hassle. So just take that into consideration when you are doing these type of loss leaders, or are you're thinking about doing it. Other places that are more established are going to have a little bit more of a upper hand, I guess would be, I don't know if that's the right way I want to say that, but essentially they'll be able to do these type of things versus us that are trying to establish ourselves to become a name on the value that's being brought in.
In a little side note on that, it was funny because I was searching one day and I was on Amazon where I buy a lot of my parts, and I was searching for a hard drive, of which I purchased, you know, several on there a month. And so I was going in and I looked for a hard drive, or it might've been something else. I can't remember. It was a computer part and might've been a screen or something like that. And I started laughing because I think I was on the phone with Paco at the time, or Skype, and we're sitting there and I'm like going, "Hey dude," I said, "you're not gonna believe this." I see my ad from Google AdWords at the bottom of the Amazon screen.
Oh yeah.
He's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." And I don't know if that must be the, I don't know what that's under, because I don't do the display ads. I do the search network only.
Yeah. It's probably a partner only. I think is what
it might be.
Out.
So, but I was surprised to see it on Amazon. So, you know, people were searching for parts could actually click on the ad through there, which I was fine with. The other thing that Google Ads has started doing, sorry to go back to that, but
that's fine.
On my website, there are some key things, words that I have on my front page. And what Google has done, it's taken those things. So there's only so much room you have in an ad that you can use for Google. So mine basically says, "The TechNut team is here to help. $89 flat fee fix." And that's pretty much all the room I have, right? That's it. What they've done, though, is on one of my things on my webpage, it says by appointment or call by appointment or call make an appointment or something like that. Anyways, Google has taken that and they actually add that into my Google ad, which I thought was really cool. I don't know how it's so smart to know, but it's like, I would have loved to add call for appointment because I work out of my home. I've never been able to do that. Google took it upon themselves to do that for me because I had good, solid information on my website. Nothing?
I got nothing. No, so I mean, essentially, like you said, I mean, that one, I think I can't speak to that anomaly. I'm assuming, like you said, that they are scraping and trying to find the great information on just what's out there. I mean, we've talked about that for years where, you know, doing this the right way organically will get you where you need to be over time. And I can speak to that fully because I noticed that as I started doing the numbers, all my business, probably 85% of my business right now is all coming in organically from things I've done 3 years ago. And this is right. Acquiring reviews, and you know, we'll talk about this as we go along. Acquiring reviews, putting out the great blogs and content, being able to appear on other avenues that are pointing to our domains. I mean, we did this in a organic way, and it really helped out us out. And being able to know that Google is scraping that information and placing it on the ads that we provide, you know, investing in them shows that they're investing in us on what we're trying to put out for the customers.
Absolutely. No, I agree. Now, yeah, so talking about reviews, let's talk about our last subject, which would be Yelp ads. Oh, I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah. That's yeah, it's
the only thing worse than Yellow Pages is, oh, I'm sorry.
No, I agree. It's 100% true. And I will, you know, I wish I could see, here's a disclaimer for everyone that's listening. I wish I could say a lot of the things that I do want to say on these podcasts, but I can't in fear of the rebuttals by these companies. So I'll simply just say this is the experiences I've had with these companies. So for everyone that I just talked about are my personal experiences. I'm not talking on what ifs. I'm not talking about things that I've read. These are things that I've actually have used, gone through, and experienced myself. And as I mentioned with Yellow Pages before, purchasing their digital package and their print package. And for those who are trying to figure out why in the world did I decide in a digital age to do Yellow Pages? And here's the only reason why. The reason why I did this was because when I was working for the company that I was at before doing on-site repair, they are an international company. And for the 2.5 to 3 years that I worked for them, every on-site that I went to in the areas that I wanted to advertise in have stated they found that company in the book. Every last one of them. Not one said they searched on a tablet. They didn't say a family member searched for us and found them. Every single one for 2.5 to 3 years said they found them in the book. So to me, I said, this is a no-brainer. I dismissed them for so long. I'm going to invest in them. They have a digital package as well. Why not go for it? Well, needless to say, this is one of the bad debts that my company has right now because of the information that they provided on the contract, and we did not get the results that we expected. So in hindsight, this was a learning experience, and this is the reason why I suggest, you know, your mileage may vary if you decide to go that route.
Well, now, and I would say, and that's what we're talking about, if you learn the ins and outs of some of these simple systems that you can use yourself, you're not going to be fooled by things that are out there and look good, but you're going to go, no, there's too many variables. I don't know. And I'm not at that level. Again, there are different things. If you were a larger company that might work for you. So as far as the Yellow Pages goes, even the digital content, it's neither here. For some people, I would say it probably does work. I'm going to say that it's probably going to be less and less as the years go on. But for some people, it probably did work. Now, as far as like Yelp ads, I have nothing against Yelp or anything like that. Never used them. I am not a big advocate of, and I know a lot of people are, getting reviews online. And I know maybe I should be, But here's the thing. The reason I don't really care about reviews personally is because I don't want to maintain reviews. It's the same reason that I don't have comments on my podcast, because I really don't care what you think. If I did, then I would open up the comments. No, because the reality is it takes time to maintain all that stuff. The more stuff I had to maintain was going to make my life a little more interesting and take more time away. And so these things are not bad in them of themselves, but you need to take the time and figure out how much time you can devote with family, business, and personal time.
Yeah. And so going back to the Yellow Pages, that digital package literally is Google AdWords, Bing Ads, all those other platforms we just talked about, you doing yourself. That's what they're doing. They're essentially taking your budget, paying themselves, and then using whatever was left over as the budget to run those campaigns. That's all that is. So that's what their digital package is. Now, as far as Yelp ads, I'll just pay our editor to edit this portion of the show for you, Jeff. But essentially, I think Yelp is the mafia. That's my opinion, personal opinion. Because I have never met an organization that has been so closed on what their processes are that they just here's my issue with Yelp is there's two things. They want you to pay X amount for so let me back it up. So there is a difference between listing your business with Yelp versus doing Yelp ads. Now, Yelp as a whole will allow you or a customer to list your business. That's a key part to understand about this is if you don't want to be listed on Yelp, does not matter. If a customer wants to list you for good or bad on Yelp, they are allowed to, and there's nothing you can do about it on getting yourself removed because you want to take no part in their ecosystem. Now, Yelp, so you can put your listing in there, you can put all your information in there, you can load up photos, et cetera, like you would with any other listings, listing pages like we mentioned in the previous episode. Or I'm sorry, two episodes ago. Now, where Yelp gets you is if you want to organize your photos, if you want to add videos, if you want to offer call to action buttons, that's a charge. And the charge has different levels, whether if you do the charge where, hey, we'll advertise your ad out to all the other ecosystems that are out there and people that are searching Yelp, it's X. But hey, if you don't want people to advertise on your page to go to them, because that's essentially what they do, is when you have your Yelp listing and you search, let's say, computer repair, we'll use my company, for example. If you search computer repair and you click Prodigy Techs, when you go to my listing, you'll notice two other Yelp ads on my listing that are either computer services or what Yelp believes are related services that will hit the customer first before scrolling down to see the reviews, the other additional information, etc., because they want to highlight their customers that are paying them to jump to their customers before they have you finish going down their listing. Now, for those who are conscientious on ads and so forth, they'll keep on with what they're clicking, but that's how they kind of get, that's the gotcha that they normally have. Now, if you want to remove that, that's a whole nother level that you have to pay the Yelp. Now, with all that being said, this is my personal issue with Yelp, is because they will tell you, okay, this is the amount that you pay us. We're going to take this little portion for your maintenance fee, and we're going to use this amount for your pay per clicks. Here's the problem. You don't know what's the budget or the maximum per click. So they can tell, so they can give you this great bar that says, hey, we got 67 people that clicked your ad 1 month, but we got 58 people that clicked the next month, but it reached your budget. Well, what was the click? How much was the click? And why is the click varying every month? No answers, no explanation, et cetera. So once I figure, and here's another part. Andres Quiroz over at Green Ink also went with Yelp ads. And as I noticed his advertisement platform, Oh, yeah. Here's the other problem that they have with their system. All right, let me rephrase that. Here's the other flaw that I've told them is a flaw and asked them to have fixed is when you look at your metrics for Yelp, you'll see how many people you've had visited or clicked on your listing to kind of see how what was viewed, you know, what was clicked as directions to the site, etc. But when you advertise for Yelp ads, they will not distinguish between organic and the Yelp ads. So if you had 100 people visiting, you know, visiting your Yelp page the last couple months, and the next couple months you had Yelp ads and it shows 100 people, you can't tell if they were brought in by Yelp or if it was organically found.
Wow. Okay.
So when we were looking over Andy's numbers, I said, and I looked at his graph, I said, bro, you can't tell if it's the same organic, and the same example that I gave you was what happened to him. He showed the same exact numbers that he had without Yelp ads compared to what it is. Now, on Yelp's behalf, who knows? Maybe his organic did drop and they did provide, et cetera. But there was no transparency when we inquired that they give us. So that was my issue with Yelp ads. And that's why I went ahead and terminated my contract with them, because they were not providing that information, nor did I see an influx or an improvement on the traffic being brought to me. So I decided that I wanted to take this in-house and kind of had the more control being a part-time tech and not being able to have the time to concentrate and figure out, is this really working?
Wow. Okay.
So that's my gripe for,
no, and that's, you know, and again, I'm going to say this, that for, and here's what we're trying to tell you. There's a difference between a part-time tech and a full-time tech, okay? Or a full-time company, part-time company. And the difference is going to be there's some things that are made to work better for that full-time business. They've got more room to play. They've got more money to throw into advertising and stuff like that. So maybe Yelp for them would actually work on that scale. But there's a lot of things you can do out there. You can start at the at this lower level and still get a lot of bang for your buck. And I'll say this, okay, here's the thing, and this is the first time. So I've had, I have a busy couple next month, or a busy couple of months. And so one of the things I've had to do is I'm doing some changes at my job. I actually got another, I'm still at the same facility, but I'm actually going into skilled trades. Anyways, got to go back to school for 4 years, all that kind of stuff. So I shut down my Google AdWords, okay, which I've done this several times before. And here's the thing. Take the word computer repair. And again, my number one keyword, or computer repair in Canton, Michigan, whatever. Without my Google AdWords on, and I don't have Bing ads running, okay? Everybody knows the little map that comes up with the business, and it usually has the top three, and then you can click on more places on Google. And Bing has the same thing under Bing Maps. So I just did a search for computer repair and computer repair in Canton, Michigan. And under that map, which is right at the top of the page, right below the ads, guess what the first business that actually comes up?
Ooh, let me guess.
Go ahead.
TechNut Computer Repair.
You got it. In all two spots. And so with it, now here's the thing. So with Google My Business and the Bing, I don't, what they call it, Bing Business, or I can't remember what it's called. I was just on it today.
It's Bing Places.
Bing Places. Thank you. Okay. So with both of those, I've got not only my address on the map, it also has my phone number, which on, let's see, I think it's clickable. Actually, the number is clickable in Bing, not in Google, but it's right there. So my information is there even without me running ads at this point in time. And the reason I know that is because I'm still getting calls, which I was trying to stop, but it's not working. So
as Jeff says angrily,
but I just thought everybody would find that interesting that I can still be at the top of the pages for what I mean, it's basically it's right below the ads where I normally would show up, but it doesn't matter because it's right there and you can see it first place. Computer repair service has my address. TechNet Computer Repair, and my phone number. And it shows the hours closed today because we don't work on Sundays. And tomorrow it'll show my hours for you know, 10 to 6, I think it is. And we'll go from there. So anyways, there's a lot of things that you can do for free, which we've talked about in previous episodes. But I really think that Google AdWords in legitimate website content without gaming a system has helped me organically get to where I need to be in my area where there are plenty of computer repair services. There's more than I can shake a stick at. And there's like, but I'm not worried about it because there's 93,000 people in the area.
Right. So, and that's the big piece. A lot of people don't like, and what's funny is that it was from you that it finally hit me as far as, cause I never really, no, that's a lie. I did look at a lot of the people around in Chicago as competition, but it wasn't until you had said that on one of the shows before I even got involved with the network was there is no possible way you as a company can take on all that work all at the same time. So it makes no sense for you to view everybody as competition versus they're just basically other people that are in the area that could possibly help you, or they're just divvying out the load on what you're going to take on.
Exactly. Absolutely. And that's the one thing. So I look at these things and I want to make sure that people understand that, you know, don't look at this thing as again, I'm looking for the customers that are going to work well with me. I'm not looking for the customer. I'm not looking to take somebody else's customer. I don't care about that. You know, if quite honestly, it's like, you know, if somebody comes and takes my customer, hey, more power to them. Because that really wasn't my customer anyways. Because apparently we didn't have a good enough relationship where it made any sense and they were willing to leave and go to somebody else. I'm fine with that. I have there's no hard feelings. I don't really care that much. So there's going to be plenty of people out there that are going to want to work with you. And that's what I tell people all the time. And they're not going to really care what you're charging as long as you're fixing the problem. But I think a lot of people's mindsets are, I got to get what I can get and I got to do what I can do. And they don't really stop and think for a minute and go, wait a minute. There's many ways to build your business. There's a, in my opinion, a better way, and maybe there's a best way, and maybe there's a not so great way, but there are different ways to do it. And it all depends on what you want to get out of it and what you, if you want to be frustrated at your business. And I was telling Paco this earlier, and we'll probably end on this, but there's a lot of people that are running around like a chicken with their head cut off. Not that grosses anybody out. PETA, don't call me. I don't care. anyways, if you, these people are working so many hours and really not bringing in as much revenue as they possibly could if they would actually slow down, adjust their rates, work on the things that they're good at, divvy the stuff out that they don't need to be, you know, the mundane tasks that they don't need to do on a daily basis. Have somebody else do that. You know, there's all kinds of way with the internet, virtual assistants and different things that you can do to take some of the load off their accountants and whatnot, bookkeepers, whatever. There are ways to do it. And the problem is a lot of people just think, especially part-time, I got to do everything myself. Now, for even as a part-time tech, do you think that I do my own taxes? Are you nuts? No, I don't do my own taxes.
He has an Excel sheet, for crying out loud, people.
Well, that's true. Okay, so that part of it kind of sucks. But I pay an accountant, and I pay him a good amount of money to do my taxes every year because he knows the tax system inside and out. I don't know anything about it. Don't want to know. He's going to make sure that everything's taken care of and everything is done right. So it's something I don't have to worry about. It just happens every year. So, anyways. Any parting thoughts, Paco?
Yes. Actually, it doesn't have to do with this episode, but okay. It's actually on episode 1 when we were talking about the differences between LLC and incorporation.
Yes.
Or S-Corp or C-Corp. So what I come to find out, and I'm not sure if this is for other states, but I come to find out that what it was about, you know, a little bit now and or bigger now and later and more later is the amount to renew your status. So for in Illinois, an LLC costs a lot less. I think it's like 50, 75 bucks or something like that to do it on your own. Okay. Now, after that, it costs anywhere from $250 to some, I forgot what the range is, to renew your LLC every year.
What?
Yes. For an incorporation, we pay $280 for mine up front. And for me to renew, it's $75 every year.
Okay, Paco, you're about to be really, really mad at me.
Okay.
Do you know how much it costs me for my LLC every year?
How much?
$25.
Yeah. So so that's what my accountant was trying to explain to me was that in Illinois, an LLC, it will cost you less to file to start an LLC, but it will cost you more to renew versus with an incorporation. You pay up front more, but it's essentially less as the years go on.
So we're, you know how Apple has the Apple tax? We're just going to call this the Illinois tax.
Yeah.
You know, of course, isn't it where our president came from? Yes. Yeah, no wonder it's that way.
thanks.
Did I just say that? I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
And on that note.
Oh my gosh. Don't get offended. I'm just kidding. Whatever.
All jokes here. Yeah. We're not on the other podcast. It's all right.
Okay. Anyways, Paco, I appreciate you coming out again. And I don't know what we're going to talk about next time, but I'm sure that let me tell you guys, Paco has been putting the notes for this together, bringing us the ideas. I'm just sitting here doing the recording, talking back and forth with him. Things are popping in our heads, and this is kind of how I like to roll, but Paco has done most of the work behind these episodes, just to let you know. So let's everybody give Paco a hand. Okay. Give him a golf clap. Paco, no, I do appreciate all the stuff that you put in here, and I think these have been great episodes, and I hope you guys are actually liking what we're doing, because I think this was a great breakdown of the beginnings of a part-time tech and some of the things we've gone through and some of the things that work for us, maybe haven't worked for us. And I would say, if you guys have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show as far as a computer repair person or a computer business owner, email us at podnutsdaily@podnuts.com.
And I'm also going to play devil's advocate for all of you that are following me on both of these podcasts. Email me directly to find out who do you prefer as the dynamic duo on my side, whether it's on the Paco and Jeff or Paco and Matt, because I'd be really curious to see which of you guys like which flow better, or if you like both. I would like to be, just curious to see which you guys prefer as the dynamic duo.
Yes, except I'm Batman.
Well, in that case, I'm Nightwing, but, you know, for all those comic nerds that have listened to it, and I'm a big comic nerd as well, will understand the reference of why I say Nightwing and not Robin. But anyway,
I do understand it. Okay. You guys can find me on the Google+ at Jeffrey Halish or Twitter at TechNutPC. And I want to thank our sponsor, Instant House Call, for this episode of Podnuts Daily. Don't forget, if you guys need business paperwork to get you started in your computer repair business, then check out the link for the TechNibble Computer Business Kit over at podnuts.com. You too can help support the Podnuts Network. Next time you're shopping on Amazon, go to podnuts.com/Amazon. I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts Daily.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.